The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from the world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe and returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. I am not speaking of all of you. I know whom I have chosen. But it is to fulfill the scripture, 'The one who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me.' I tell you this now before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe that I am he. Very truly I tell you, whoever receives one whom I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me." After saying this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and declared, "Very truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he was speaking. One of his disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter therefore motioned to ask Jesus of whom he was speaking. So while reclining next to Jesus, he asked him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." So when he had dipped the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, son of Simon Iscariot. After he had received the piece of bread, Satan entered into him. Jesus said to him, "Do quickly what you are going to do." Now no one at the table knew why he said this to him. Some thought that because Judas had the common purse, Jesus was telling him, "Buy what we need for the festival," or that he should give something to the poor. So after receiving the piece of bread, he immediately went out, and it was night. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow afterward." Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Jesus answered, "Will you lay down your life for me? Very truly I tell you, before the cock crows, you will have denied me three times." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Having loved his own, he loved them to the end. That frames this entire story. Having loved his own, he loved them to the end. So here we are at Maundy Thursday. People always ask, I always want to give a brief explanation about Maundy. It's an odd word. It's connected to the word mandatum, which is a Latin word, same root from which we get the word mandate, and it means new commandment. And of course, today we have heard Jesus says, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. The reason it's called mandatum, it is somewhat akin to Magnificat. We all know the Magnificat, the Song of Mary, which begins, my soul magnifies the Lord. And in Latin, the first word is Magnificat. So that's what the entire piece has come to know. Well, the new commandment is known as the mandatum. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And this ups the stakes, by the way. We always think of Jesus giving the two great commandments, love God and love neighbor. But of course, the love neighbor is as you love yourself, right? So we always feel like, well, if I don't love myself, I'm not under much obligation to my neighbor. Jesus takes you out of the equation this time and simply says, love others as I have loved you. Having loved his own, he loved them to the end. So they gather for supper. They come into a room. Presumably there is a basin off to the side and a towel there for people to wash their feet. And as the 12 come in, any one of them could have gone and gotten the basin and the towel. But none do. They sit down. So Jesus gets it. Jesus goes, takes off his outer garment, puts on the towel around his waist, and gets the basin. Now, we've talked about foot washing before. This is the lowest of the low where chores goes. You know, there's a pecking order in every realm of life, and that goes for the household staff as well. And the lowest of the servants would be in charge of washing feet. If there were Jewish servants, they would never be expected to wash feet in a Jewish home. They might be expected to do a lot else, but never to wash feet. That would be left for a Gentile. But here Jesus does it. Jesus takes his hands to this dirty, filthy job. People have been walking. Most of them would have had sandals on, although it's worth noting, even if they had some form of shoes, this would still be offered as an element of hospitality. Certainly this act has gone on in other places in Scripture, but here we get Jesus taking his hands to do this dirty job. So he gets on his knees, and we have seen Jesus on his knees so many times before. He's always going off alone to pray. Here he is with his disciples. He gets on his knees to wash these feet, one set after another. And you think about these hands that he is using when he does this dirty job. These are the hands that in less than 24 hours will have holes in them and will be limp in death. Think about the feet that he's washing. Of these 24 feet, these 12 sets, one set will leave to betray him shortly. Another set will carry Peter to denial. Three times he will deny that he even knows his Lord Jesus Christ. And as for the rest of the feet, only one set will be anywhere near the cross when Jesus dies. And those are the feet of the disciple whom Jesus loved, as Scripture says, the beloved disciple. And it's worth noting that it is only in John's gospel story that any male is near the cross, any one of the 12, they have all left. These feet that Jesus has just cleaned have taken them all away. This is a particularly dirty job. At the time when Jesus is close to death, the thing he most wants to do above all other things is to serve those whom he loves. Those whom God has given him. I have but hours left, and I am going to get on my knees, and I am going
to wash your feet. And he tells them, as I have done for you, you also should do to others. Now, ultimately, I think the chore that he's calling us to may not be washing feet. What we're about to do is a good spiritual exercise. But the dirty job Jesus was doing, I think, really had nothing to do with feet. Jesus was expressing this extraordinary love at a time of extraordinary difficulty. And I think the dirt from this job comes not from the feet, but from what is going on around him. We have one disciple who will betray him to death. Another disciple who will deny him three times. I don't know the man. I don't know what you're talking about. And in the midst of this, Jesus loves. I looked for a version of the Bible that would say Jesus washed everyone's feet except Judas, and it doesn't exist. If you try to look for one where Jesus is reluctant to wash Peter's, you'll find it doesn't exist. He washed the 12. It is through this extraordinary act of faithfulness that Jesus overcomes our extraordinary faithlessness at a time when we are most in need. Jesus loves. Amen.